Today is Wednesday, May the 10th, 2017, and we are at Ann Tramarello's apartment in Raven Landing Senior Community at 949 McGowan Street, Apartment 3D. And I am Nona Howard, and I'm here with Ann Tramarello. And I want to thank you for allowing this interview today so that you could become a part of the Raven Landing resident stories.
You're welcome.
So we'll start first with a little biographical information, and we'll go from there. From the very beginning, tell us when you were born and where.
Well, I was born September 1st, 1935, at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. My dad was a medical doctor in the Army and was stationed there when I was born. When I was a year old, we moved to Panama, so I didn't spend much time in Kansas, but that's the place where I was born.
Okay, so now, so where did you grow up? But you were a military brat.
That's right. And we lived, well, from Panama, we went to Louisiana, then Georgia. Then during the war, we lived in Illinois, Georgia, and Arizona. And then we went to San Francisco, and then to Washington, D.C. And then my 10th move was to Alaska in 1953.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have any stories about your parents or about your ancestors that you would like to become part of the record?
Well, both my parents were born and raised in southern Illinois. My dad's family were farmers, and my dad decided he didn't want to be a farmer, so he borrowed some money from an aunt who had a little money. I think he told me one time he borrowed $600 and went to medical school in St. Louis. And my mother was also born in this rural town, and she lived there all her life until she and my dad were married in 1928.
Oh my gosh. That's a long time ago.
Yeah,
it was. Can you tell us what brought you to Alaska?
Well, it was like so many, my dad brought me here. I had just graduated from high school. I was going to study interior design in college in Richmond, Virginia, when he came home one day and said, "How would you like to go to college in Alaska?" And I couldn't talk him out of leaving me on the East Coast by myself, which he was smarter than I was at that time and knew that wouldn't have been a good idea. So we drove across the country from Washington, D.C. to Seattle, got on a boat and headed for Alaska. And we got here in August of 1953.
And so were you in Fairbanks then? Or
no, we were in Anchorage. He was stationed at Elmendorf, and he was the Alaska Command Surgeon at Elmendorf, which meant he was in charge of all the military medical facilities in the state or the territory at the time.
Yeah. Okay. But we're glad you got here.
Yes. After all, I am too. But yeah. At the time, I didn't think it was the right idea.
Oh, sometimes our parents do know better than we do, but we don't give them that credit sometimes. So regarding your career, can you tell us what led to your career since you were going to, did you become a designer?
No. I decided my ambition was not real high. I thought I'll get the skills so I can become a secretary. So I enrolled at my father insisted I enroll at the University of Alaska, which the only campus was in Fairbanks at that time. So I came and enrolled in typing and shorthand, and I did not get along. So luckily I took an accounting class along the way, and that clicked, and so I majored in accounting and management and went to work after graduation for an accounting firm in town. But my husband and I were living on campus in married student housing. We had gotten married the summer of 57. And We had a 1949 Studebaker, and I didn't want to drive all the way to Fairbanks from campus when it was winter time and try to keep that car going while I worked in an accounting office there in town. So I had gotten to know the registrar when I was a student and asked her one day when I saw her if she had any openings because I wanted to work on campus for the winter. And she did have an opening and hired me, and I was going to be there for a year. And started out as a clerk at the front counter, and the assistant registrar left a year or so later. So because I had a degree, Dr. Patty was interested in having his professional people have degrees, so I got the assistant registrar job and kept that until 1972 when I became director of admissions and registrar. And then I kept that for 30 years until I retired in 2002. So.
Well, someplace along the line, we skipped you meeting your husband getting married and having children.
Yes, we did. That's an important part.
That's an important part of your life.
Well, Joe went to high school in Fairbanks and graduated the same year I did, but he went outside to Eastern Washington University his first year with all of his buddies.
And what year was that?
That was 53. And so he, of course, ran out of money and had to get a part-time job and just didn't have enough money to continue at an outside institution paying non-resident tuition and all that. So he came home to live with his folks and enrolled in the university in the fall of 54, and he and I had a couple of classes together, and we started dating and in the spring of 55, and kind of seemed like the right way to go, so we got married in June of 57, and Joe graduated in May of 58, so we were in married student housing that year, and then we didn't know where we'd go, depending on where he could get a job, and he got a job in the Fairbanks School District, and so we settled in here for the duration. So in 61, our son Richard was born, and he was a good kid who excelled in music, and that became what his vocation. He is a professional musician now, has been for ever since he graduated from college. So. But Joe and I were married for 55 years when he died in 2012. And up to that time, we had lived in a house out north of town in the Muskox subdivision, a beautiful log, small but beautiful log house with a nice view. But that wasn't the place where I felt I could stay after he passed away.
So then that's when you decided to make a change.
That's right. And I had been keeping an eye on Raven Landing as it was built and thought someday I'll want to move in there. But I didn't think the timing was right as long as Joe and I were both healthy. We loved our house so much and out in the woods, and but when he became ill and it was apparent that he would not be able to handle stairs, then I looked seriously at Raven Landing and got the application papers and so forth, but unfortunately he passed away before there was any opportunity to even move over here. So after he died, I thought I didn't want to have to worry about frozen pipes and shoveling snow, and I wasn't doing too well on stairs myself. So I came over and put an application in and came to a meeting, and this apartment happened to be vacant, and Susan Motter, the director, was leading the meeting I came to, and she said, "I have an apartment upstairs if you'd like to look at it." And came up and looked at it and said, "I could live here." So that I have ever since.
And when was that?
That was I started moving in November of 2012, and I finally slept here the first week of January of 2013. It took me a while to clean out the house and I was moving stuff over gradually, but I signed my contract as of November 1st, 2012.
Can you tell us about your experience since you've been at Raven Landing?
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it. It's perfect for me. I feel secure, safe. Lots of people around who I enjoy so much. There's always something to do, or if I don't want to do anything, I have that option as well. I don't have to clean my house, which is wonderful. I don't have to cook any meals to speak of, which is fine with me as well. And it's just a wonderful place. I feel so fortunate that it was available when just the timing was perfect, when I needed to have a different place to live.
Yeah. Well, good. Okay, can you tell us in your lifetime, what are some of your fondest memories?
Oh, gosh, there's so many.
We have time.
Well, probably the first big event in our life was Joe's high school basketball team won a state championship in 1964, and that was just really exciting for him and for me, and it was just a really good time. Some of the members of that team have done very well. One is Gary Wilkin, who we all know is a state senator, and still to this day keeps in close touch with me, and did while Joe was alive as well. I was president of the Pacific Association of Registrars and Admissions Officers in the mid-80s. That's an association that has covers California, Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, Montana, British Columbia, and Alaska. And it's a fairly large organization, and I was in the presidential order there for 3 years, and it was just really an exciting experience to be in the leader of that kind of an organization. So, otherwise, I dearly loved my job at the university. We had our moments of stress and budget problems like they're going through now. But it was very rewarding in that I was able to facilitate and make significant changes while I was there, and that was very satisfying. And I loved working with the students, the young people. I think that keeps you young to associate with young people. But when I started working at the university, we had no computers at all, and that was in 1957. And in, I think it was 58, they bought some kind of basic machine that read punch cards. And we thought we had died and gone to heaven. And then, little did we know. So the last big job that I did, I was chairman of the committee that brought in the web registration so that we could, we had fought registration in lines all the whole time I was there, and finally had the opportunity to bring in web, and it was really a lot of fun to do it, to take the basic package and to manipulate it so it would fit our institution, and so it's still basically... That was in 2001, maybe 2002. I retired in 2002, so it must have been 2001. And they're still using the basic formula today. It hasn't changed at all. So.
And we don't have those long lines standing out the door, and you're there till midnight.
That's right. I had one that we did something. Oh, we set up registration in the Great Hall one time. It went really well. It was one of our first, really everything worked. And I actually had one student come up to me and said, "I'm so mad." And they said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, I brought my book and I plan to read while there's in line. There's no lines." And she was serious. So I thought, well, you can't satisfy everybody.
Well, I sort of skipped over a question when we were in the career, but you've answered it, and that said, What would you like to tell us about your career, or what would your descendants to know about your career?
Well, probably of all the things I did over my 45 years at the university was I loved commencement. I actually went the other day just to sit through it again. But I loved the whole idea of putting together a ceremony that celebrated students and their accomplishments. And when I was the assistant registrar, we were graduating in the Patty Building. And one time, I was in the back hallway waiting. I was going to sit in the back. I wasn't on the stage then. And two students rushed in. Neither one of them had a gown. And they both just panicked because they had gotten to the bookstore too late, and what were they going to do, and so forth. So I figured out that one graduated in the first half of the ceremony, and the other one graduated in the last half. And so I took off my gown and gave it to the guy in the first half. And he marched in with the procession and sat in his seat. And when he got his diploma, instead of going back to his seat, he came out to the lobby. And we switched gowns, and the second guy put on the gown. And he went in and sat down. We had saved a seat for him. And then he got to go up and get his diploma, and then he got to walk out with the recessional. So it was just so much fun to be able to figure out things like that. And I can't remember who the guys are, but it was just a neat thing.
Maybe one day they'll read this and know who they are.
maybe so. Remember that. Remind me who they are. Yeah, but yeah. It was graduation, just the joy of on the faces of the students as they came across the stage, because I would be standing there handing the diploma to whoever was giving them out. And so I got to watch them up close and personal, and it was really special.
I bet you had a lot of special times.
Oh, yes.
During your career.
Lots and lots. Couldn't have asked for a better career, really. I think it was, I was very fortunate that I fell into that and that it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah. Well, I have one final question, and it's a fun one. What was your favorite age and why?
Oh, gosh. Probably 65 when I retired. Even though I loved working, loved my job, and Joe and I had a good life, once I retired, I was able to go back to that art interest from 50 years before and started taking courses at the Summer Arts Festival. I continue to paint today, which is very satisfying. And so it all started when I retired, but I had lots of good times at various ages, and I had grandchildren then too, so that helped.
Yes. So is there anything else that you would like to be remembered about you?
Well, I think just that I'm devoted to the university after so many years. It's in my blood, I think, and I'm just very, very fortunate to have that association with it for so long.
With the university, and also with what your husband did.
And
you're still associated with that, aren't you?
Yeah. And Joe with the school district, and he coached at the university too. And so it was the interviews, and he played basketball at the university, of course. So it was intertwined in our lives all the way through. They are total careers. So.
Well, again, I would like to thank you for doing this interview today, Anne.
You're welcome very much.
Okay.
My pleasure.